So basically, mindfulness is a method for observing what is happening right now in our bodies, minds, and the world around us. It can be our very connection to each other and the world around us. So it can be one tool or skill to develop. There's all sorts of studies with stress reduction. It's helpful for the immune system, test anxiety, or just connection with yourself to kind of discover who you are and kind of ground you in your life. But it can also be a whole toolbox, a whole way of living, an art of living, as some members have mentioned. You can make your whole life your meditation. And so it supports all aspects of life. And basically what it comes down to, as I always say, is that it helps you to live an aware, awake, and an intentional life. Helps you to become mindful and clear, to go about the things that we value. Brings into clarity those things we value, kind of what we're going through our lives after, and also to appreciate what's here already. So it's not necessarily, oh, I notice what's wrong with me, but now I have an effective way to fix my life. We're not even saying that something has to be wrong or that it has to be fixed. It can just bring you into the present moment to help show with a little more clarity all the things to become aware of that you already do have, how life is already, there's many, many things we already do have. And even though there's lots of limitations, there are lots of great things as well that we can appreciate, that can connect us with our own lives, self-discovery, relationships with others, and our connection with the earth, where everything comes from as well. And so I hope that's kind of made it a little clear that it's really about awareness, and everything, we can bring awareness to everything. And usually that's pretty helpful when we're aware of what's going on within us and around us. So once again, we have another wonderful guest on. I'd like to introduce Darren, who is the president for Sossner here at USU. And what's really interesting is I owe these guys a lot. Not only what they're doing, not only do a lot of us benefit from what they do, their efforts, and kind of the bigger picture of what's going on with Sossner. We'll go over what that is exactly in a minute. But also me personally and this show, because this is kind of full circle.
It is. It really is. I am so grateful that I'm sitting in on your show now. It makes me so happy. We've got it going.
So yes, that it's on this show, and what Darren means, that's Darren, by the way, is started showing up on their show, which another great, wonderful show here on Aggie Radio. And so it's great to have you back. Back this semester and back on this, well,
good be
on
back.
This show.
Yeah, it's. So. I'm excited. When you told me that you were going to be doing this over the summer, I was so happy. I've been in Boston all summer, and I've actually been able to listen to some of your mindfulness on air, and really has helped me clear my mind and bring focus to the things in my life that I need to improve on from time to time. As individuals, you're put in situations that you've maybe never been in, or you don't know how to handle yourself, and just some of the principles of meditation and self-awareness have really helped me, maybe not say the wrong things, or maybe not offend someone, or maybe just let things roll off my back. And I really appreciate the skills that you taught me last semester and coming onto the show.
Perfect, and that is completely genuine. We did not script any of that, so that is genuine, and I appreciate that. And that's an open invitation for everybody. This is anybody's chance to check out these shows, the podcasts, come to the meditation club. We have many, many resources that's open-handedly offered for anybody to find whatever that helps with their lives. Before we dive into all that,
yeah,
how about a little elaboration on what you do,
cool,
with Sossner, and kind of what that good stuff's all about?
Sounds good. So like he said, I get to help with Sossner. It's the Student Organization for Society and Natural Resources. So essentially, we like people and we like nature. So what we're trying to do is reconnect individuals to the great outdoors by showing them a proper land ethic and how to respect nature, as well as bringing mindfulness and awareness to everything they do outside. I also enjoy helping the Student Sustainability Office as an intern. And so myself, I find myself very busy from time to time, very hectic, and everyone always says, how do you have so much time, or how do you do what you do? And I really don't know, to be honest. That's the first thing. But meditation definitely helps. You know, when I wake up, I do it. When I go to sleep, I do it. Insomnia was a chronic issue I had as a child, and I can honestly say that I sleep like a baby when I do some meditation and just relax and do some ohms, you know. But yeah, Sossner, we're an open club to anyone. We do nature hikes every Wednesday at 5:30. So if people are interested, just look up USU SOSNR on Facebook, and, you know, we'd love to bring you out, you know, just bring you on a hike.
Nice. And I love how you already brought up that with connecting to the earth, to the outdoors, our natural resources, bringing awareness to doing all that. So that feeds right in perfectly to the show and why we've actually made those connections, because many others, I think, see the parallels as well, as bringing awareness to that. So I've talked about a little bit of a definition, kind of, as a working hypothesis a little bit, to kind of point to what mindfulness is, and that's really just one approach to meditation. And so what is mindfulness? What comes to mind to give other people more perspective that this is an individual path. This is what works for you. You find out what works. And so it's not I have no corner on the market of what mindfulness and meditation is. What does it mean to you?
So, you know, I like that you said it's a individual thing. So it's not a one size fits all or one shoe fits everybody. Some people wear sandals, some people go barefoot. So meditation truly is an individual decision to make within yourself. You know, it sounds corny, it sounds stupid, or it might sound interesting or difficult, but essentially just trying it, you know, definitely will show you something about yourself that you didn't really expect. You know, as a person that likes to talk, it's always good to be able to give myself some silent moments in my life to just think and categorize things. But meditation and that is important to me because truly an individual cannot understand their own impact on a surrounding or an environment or a place without understanding themselves or recognizing within themselves the good, the bad, the ugly, the great, you know. And, you know, with meditation, it really, you know, brings you to a point in your life where the controllables are, you control them, but the uncontrollables are where you have to learn to just release and just detach. And, you know, I really enjoy that because, you know, as we all know, there's a lot of things happening in the world and you really can't control a lot of it. And, you know, there's these spheres of influence that we each have. And, you know, meditation really brings awareness to your circle or your square or whatever your geometry shape, whatever your shape is, you know, meditation allows you to fulfill that and kind of fill in the voids. It's not this Eastern philosophy, new age, millennial hipster yoga, you know, thing. It's for everybody. It truly is. My grandfather practices meditation and he doesn't even know it. Half the time that I'm talking to him, he's just listening and ignoring what I'm saying. And so I'm like, all right, he's already got like half the job down. And he's 85. And so, you know, it's for anybody. And I really do encourage everyone, you know, it sounds maybe a little daunting to just come to an event or just try it yourself. But, you know, this guy Jake here next to me has an amazing voice if you haven't heard it already. And, you know, I've almost been put into like a sleep coma / a drool sesh because of how, you know, relaxed I become. And so really, people, if you're stressed, if you are worried, if you just got dumped or you're going to go ask somebody out, meditation will help you get there either better way or a quicker way or a more understanding way. And just kind of think about that, guys. You know, what is it to you? And awesome. That's what defines your practice, is what it means to you. Like Jake said, everyone's got their own opinion, and that's what makes it so great, because there's a time and a place for everything, and you just have to be aware, you know, of when that time and place is.
Exactly, and brought up quite a few different great points, that there is all sorts of different ways to meditate. There's formal ways, sitting, practicing, which when you do try that, and it may not be what you thought it was or what everybody says. That's because we're not really conditioning our mind to become aware, and to we're not conditioning this kind of awareness. We've been conditioning our minds to react in certain ways, the patterns we've been creating, and so it can be a little difficult to sit down and get to know yourself. That being said, there's some formal ways, there's some wonderful places to practice, but also this quality of awareness, this centeredness, coming to the present moment, that we can really, that is inside us. That's not a magical room. That's not a magical voice, a magical posture. This awareness, this connection to actually live life, to breathe, that can be anywhere. And so, to expound on that a little bit, that quality, if it's not locked up in a certain person, a room, or a pose, then we can bring that awareness to everything we do. Somebody can be writing poetry, and that poetry could be their form of meditation, taking showers, gardening, very physical connection with the earth, and that is happening in the present moment. And so that's why that works. There's just many, many ways that is helpful to become aware, and that can be your own practice of what works for you to help ground you, become aware. And so when you have those stressful times, not only do you have a little more support, calmness, but that letting go as well. You have that awareness, or insight, that wisdom to have a little more clarity, so you can go about the things you can change, but let go, have a little attachment, a little space, not holding on so tight, especially with the things we can't control. And so one of those really neat practices that you've brought up and talked about is with the nature walks and your work outside and with the earth. Perfect way to bring awareness to what you guys do. And it can be something as simple as walking around on campus.
Yeah, we have a lot of green space. Yeah. We have Logan Canyon, just quarter mile. You know, it's like you said, I really think that people need to learn to enjoy living moment by moment, because it could be your last. Far too often our society is having us think into the future. What's my college degree going to be looking like? What's my master's program? Where am I going to go for grad school? You know, am I getting married? You know, am I going to have kids? You know, is there an eternity? You know, you hear all these things, you know, live for tomorrow. But, you know, you truly miss the great moments in today when you do that. And so, you know, I think you'll become more fulfilled as an individual when you can just moment by moment enjoy that. You know, I always like to, you know, in my mind, when I'm having a bad day or a stressful day, I just like to think about the fact that I'm an American and that I live in a free country that has running water and electricity. And there are millions, you know, maybe a billion people, I think, now that are starving, you know. And so you're not one of those. Or, you know, if you are, we have a food pantry that will feed you. And so you just have to become grateful in all the little things, because, you know, I love America, but sometimes our consumer-driven ideals make us want the next thing, the best thing, keep up with the Joneses.
Which gives you a huge sense of lack.
Yeah.
And not stress. Appreciating what's here, adding more stress, and just not seeing the value. Not seeing how happy and content you can be in the present moment, because if I need that next thing, or when that happens, you feel that sense of lack, and therefore we've just devalued the present moment, and we're just driven for that next thing. So goals are great. Those values we have that we work towards are great. But when they turn around and use us,
yeah,
it kind of defeats that purpose, because like you said, then one day we're going to wake up and it's going to be the end of our lives that we prepared for and saved up for and planned for, and realized life just went by and I now could have enjoyed a lot more stuff.
You know, and they say, you know, in some of these studies that they do with elder people that are going to be dying soon, they talk to them, what do you most regret in life? You know, what are the top five things you regret? And right. If you look at any study, you know, there's going to be a common thread. You know, almost all of them say, I wish I spent more time with my loved ones. I wish I spent more time outside. I wish I wasn't working all the time. I wish I was more present in my life. And, you know, I challenge everybody, if you don't want to be one of those just statistics that when you're sitting in a hospital bed at age 85, you're not thinking, darn it, I wish I would have, you know, do it today. You know, today is the moment. Seize your day. Carpe diem, you know. That's the, you know, the kind of mantra that people need to live. You know, be smart. You know, don't do anything crazy to put yourself in prison tomorrow. But, you know, definitely try to bring more of awareness to yourself and what your impact is on individuals, the environment, yourself. And, you know, I don't know who the guy is that said this quote, but, you know, there's one that really sticks to me is, you know, if you're one that lusts after power, you'll always feel powerless. You know, if you're one that always is lusting after material things, you're always going to be left out without it. You know, if you're one that always wants people's approval, you're going to always feel like you don't have their approval. So you'll be a lot happier in your life when you can just say, you know what, I'm just going to meditate it out and ignore all the negative, you know, breathe in the good, out with the bad. Sounds crazy, but you can walk yourself out of a bad mood. So those of you that drive a car to campus, if you're ever mad, just, you know, walk around campus and then drive home, or walk home and back and get your car.
And it doesn't even necessarily have to be ignoring or running away from the negative. We could totally recognize that.
Agreed.
But then when we've kind of settled and allow that spaciousness in the present moment or in whatever you're going through, you just see that as one part, one aspect of your life, one part of your experience. And so it's still there. It may need to be handled. Those are the responsible actions you talked about that we may need to take care of. But that is not what defines you.
Yeah, that is not your life.
Exactly.
Deadline to deadline, exam to exam, that is not who you are as an individual. Yes, you're a student, you know. Yes, you have to get good grades if you want to have a good life after. But, you know, you got to be...
But when you stress away,
gotta be okay
instead of being here studying and enjoying the ride, when you stress away, that doesn't help you either.
No, so, not at all. It's good to be stressful. So I mean, it's a good attribute,
there's
but...
There's some drive.
Yeah, don't have it all the
drive,
time.
Drive, right.
Reduce your cortisol level, folks. You know, it's not good for your body, but, you know, stress is a human... you know, behavior that I think our ancestors have felt. I mean, that's the reason why they probably left some areas is to find more food because they were stressed about where they'd find their food. So these are natural tendencies, folks. You know, it's a way of life. You know, don't be afraid to be stressed. You know, stress is something to overcome. It's something you can win. And, you know, I want to let you know when you are stressed and you become unstressed, I don't know if you've ever had that in your life, it's the most amazing feeling to have that weight, you know, metaphorical weight they always talk about. You know, taking off your shoulders, taking off your chest, you know, it's truly is, what is the word? Freeing, you know, liberating.
Liberating. A lot of relief.
A lot of relief, definitely. I've been trying to get my mom to do meditation. She loves the lady to death. She's the most successful person I've ever met in my life, but she's starting to meditate. She's starting to do yoga with me. She's starting to work out in the morning. So, you know, folks, try meditating if you go to the gym, you know, before you get out of your car, or before you go up campus to work out, or, you know, in the locker room, sit down for 30 seconds and just say, you know, what do I want out of my workout, you know, or what do I want out of my run? You know, just start asking yourself what you want in the moment, in the present moment. And, you know, do you want it to be a good moment? Do you want it to be a bad moment? And I challenge you folks, this is a personal opinion of mine, but of all the species on Earth, I want to say that humans are by far the ones that can choose their own happiness, or at least help dictate it to some degree, or at least become self-aware more than other species. And we have a great opportunity, a great existence here, that we can be happy or we can be sad. And I want to let you know that meditation will help you get over the bad parts and, you know, increase the good parts. You know, you'll have more fun in the good times, and your bad times will be far less because you understand that it's not going to last forever. You know, can detach, not run away, but, you know, just recognize and just say, hey, is this controllable in my life? Can I control it? And if you can't, then you can't, you know? And so for me, that's a really, really big thing that I really appreciate in meditation because of the field that I'm in. I do a lot of environmental things, and, you know, I always hear, you know, someone saying, well, we're all done for, you know, doom and gloom. Well, no, you know, you got to think about what you can personally, you know, control. What can you personally do every day to do something? And for me, I cannot stop China building a coal power plant. That is something I physically cannot do. So I shouldn't fret about it. I should not be yelling at myself, kicking myself in the butt, saying, why can't I stop China from building a coal power plant? But what I can do is fix my backyard. What I can do is fix my front yard, grow food, you know, maybe turn off the light switch, you know, truly connect myself to the land, because right now, our world, we have a really big disconnect between humans and nature. There's this thing called the metabolic rift that people talk about. And unfortunately, people of our society and others are starting to find out that energy does not come from a light switch. Water does not come from a faucet. And food does not come from a grocery store. And, you know, I highly invite every single one of you guys, when you go outside next, just look up, see if you can draw a picture around a cloud. you know, make a little bunny or elephant, you know, do something, and just mentally take a picture. You know, the sky is blue, the grass is green, we have snow on top of the mountains, which is amazing, everybody. It is still September and we have snow, so be grateful.
For the rain as well.
For the rain, yeah. I mean, torrential downpour.
Yeah, it seems could put a damper on your day, but again, put in perspective.
Yeah, the whole
picture.
That's
great stuff. That's what grows. That's what
our food.
It grows our food. Grows us. We drink that. We're made of that.
Tubing down the canyon.
And that's where the water comes from. Not necessarily the faucet.
Yeah.
So just the total connection, putting things in perspective, and go ahead and elaborate a little more on what you're talking about with where that comes from and the impact that our awareness has on when we become aware of this connection we have with the earth.
Well, you know, like I said, the metabolic rift is, you know, the biggest issue. You know, I've met 10-year-olds that have never gone to Logan Canyon or never have gone on a hike. And, you know, we can talk about it all the time. We can talk about it all day, but you cannot truly cherish or enjoy something, I think, unless you fully understand it and have been in it. So, you know, I can say how cool outer space is. I can imagine how great it is. But once I'm in outer space, it is a totally new experience that you have. I haven't been there. I want to. But, you know, it's kind of like the same thing when you go out your backyard. You know, Logan, we have an opportunity that others just do not. I was in Boston looking for mountains, looking for wildlife. Went to Walden Pond to do a little bit of meditation, like Henry David Thoreau.
Nice.
Unfortunately, there was like 8 motorboats in the lake, little kids driving around, and you know,
something else to be aware of.
Yeah, something to be aware of. But you know, once again, individuals are born into their circumstance. They do not choose who their parents are. You know, you are not defined by who your parents are, though, either. So you know, just enjoy Grand Outdoors. Understand that people come to Utah State for nature. And, you know, for me, you know, I really just want to make people aware that your impact, your individual choices do, you know, create butterfly effects for, you know, generations from now. You know, something as little as picking up a cigarette butt, you know, picking up a little litter. You know, I always tell people nature is like a flower. If you truly love it, you're not going to pick the flower and run home with it. It's going to die eventually in your house. It's not going to be able to survive. But if you really love that flower, you're going to bring every single person you know to that flower, let them love it, let them understand it, let them cherish it. And you can truly then have a greater love for that flower as an individual when you bring someone to the fullness of that flower, if that makes sense. And, you know, I just want to challenge all of you, don't pick the flower, you know. Show someone else. You know, they always say you teach somebody by or you learn great by teaching someone else. So teach someone your love and it'll be even more solid and in your consciousness that you care about nature. And so that's something I've really seen with myself. And you know, when it comes to that, you know, I've gone to one of your meditation club meetings when we did mindfulness on food. And
right.
I don't know if anybody knows much about food, but it's a pretty critical thing that we need to live, and
I agree.
It kind of defines our life in a way. We can't live without it. We can't do without it. And so I guess on that note, something people might be interested in knowing is that here on campus we have a ton of food waste that is starting to be collected. It started last semester, and so if you're someone that needs food, good nourishing food, the university has it for you. It's called SNACC, so it's the Student Nutrition Access Center. So just Google SNAC USU, and you know,
is that still in
third floor of TSC?
333, or
I think it's 333. It's this back little crevice hall. If you go up to the third floor by the ping pong tables and just say, "Hey, where's the free food at?"
Yeah,
they'll tell you.
And it's actually right around the corner from where we meet for meditation, so.
Which is true. And it's open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 3 to 5, and you can get a full grocery bag of free food for yourself. And you know, once again, folks. Health, mindfulness, you know, you can become really aware with, you know, what your food does to you. You know, in the Statesman, if you guys are looking, I'm actually looking at an article. One of them is on the food waste on campus, but the other one is about bringing a healthy choice to Macy's grocery store. And for me, this is a really cool, they're starting to do a checkout line with healthy food for people. Giving people a quick option to grab something healthy instead of maybe a Twinkies, which we all love, you know, but maybe not every day we should have a Twinkie. And so it's really good to see that businesses and individuals are coming together to promote wellness, especially here in the Bear River Valley section of Utah. We have a big issue. 59% of people are either overweight or obese, and we're close to an 8% with diabetes and high blood pressure, which is above average for the state of Utah. And so, you know, I challenge anyone to kind of start focusing on what their food intake is.
Yeah, I want to point that out. That's the issue right there. That's the thing that we can bring into awareness is what's the quality of our food, what's in it, what are our choices, are things, the impact it's having. So it's not that's a problem of how people are. Who you are is perfectly fine, and that's who you are. But in order to have a healthier outcome or whatever your goal is for yourself, it begins with awareness
and what's
going in. So it's acknowledging that and then doing a little bit of looking and researching what's in there. I just wanted to point that out, that what Darren's talking about is noticing what's the nutrients, what's in that food. That's what we're talking about. You bring awareness to that.
And well, and anyone that's ever tried a diet, you know, you always become aware of what you're eating. You know, the whole calorie counting, write down your calories, write down your fat, write down your protein. You know, in my mind, that's a little too much. Maybe, you know, there's easier things to do. But, you know, just become aware. You know, I think you brought on a valid point. There are embedded, you know, values or embedded resources within the food that you're eating. So if you're someone that's about to take a bite out of something, just look at it and just say, where did this come from? You know, where is its origin? You know, was this an animal? Was this a plant? Was it a mushroom at one point? You know, and then think, if it is, you know, an animal, what did the animal eat? What did the animal do in its life? What, you know, there's even more embedded resources within that meat, you know, plants, water, energy, light. And just kind of understanding that you don't go to McDonald's and get a burger and then you're done. You know, that burger came from somewhere. It had, you know, water needed for it, sunlight. Someone worked, some farmer worked, some piece of machinery picked it up out of the ground. And just kind of recognizing and you know, I challenge people, there's this thing called food miles. Kind of recognize where your food comes from. How far is it coming from? Are you buying stuff from Chile? Are you buying stuff from India? Are you buying things from Africa that you could be buying here in Cache Valley? And so I, you know, challenge you, become aware of your sources of your food. Where does it come from? Yes, maybe it comes from Walmart. Yes, maybe it comes from a grocery store. But, you know, maybe look at the label and see, you know, product of what country. And, you know, it's really cool because once you kind of recognize food, you understand that that connects all human beings. Every life, everything needs food. And, you know, you can really learn a lot about a culture, an individual, you know, their upbringing, their life circumstances by the food they eat. And, you know, me personally, I'm wanting to embrace a plant-based diet. You know, I love meat, but, you know, it is what it is. There are other ways of getting your protein source.
Lots and lots of other ways.
Bugs.
Than just the three or four options of animals.
Yeah, I'm looking for bug burgers. So if anyone has a good bug guy, you know, or crickets, I've heard that they're quite tasty. Just put a little bit of cayenne, salt, and pepper.
Chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. See, chocolate, that's another thing. You know, if we want to talk some deep talk, people here, chocolate. Look at your chocolate next time you eat it and try to figure out where that chocolate came from. Unfortunately, right now, as we're talking, there are children in Africa enslaved for chocolate for our consumption. And so, you know, I love chocolate, you love chocolate, but a lot of companies and corporations, whatever you want to call them, have done a really good job of disconnecting you from your food source, where it comes, who's hurt, what's used. And, you know, if you're interested, Google Hershey's chocolate, slave-free chocolate, and you'll kind of be a little startled to see that, you know, there is still slavery going around in the world, and it's because of Americans and because of our love for chocolate. And, you know, if you're someone that loves social justice, environmental justice, personal justice, you know, just looking at your food source, your sweets, your sodas, you know, palm oil, rubber trees, you know, the Amazon rainforest, you know, just start looking up where your food comes from and really understand that what you eat, it has an effect on not just yourself, but the environment and individuals in other countries that you don't even know. And, you know, you know, I don't think we want to be the individuals that are putting children in slavery for chocolate. I don't think we meant to. I don't think we purposely do it. But it's all about getting educated. So being aware and gaining an education, and so being at a campus, a college campus like Utah State, gives us all a great opportunity to become educated, not to ignore facts, but to embrace them, to understand what we know, to know what we know, and then believe and implement what we know. Far too often we have inaction in our lives, and, you know, just think about it. If someone else is suffering, would you want to be that suffering person? You would probably want that suffering to end. And, you know, I feel that we all have goodness inside of ourselves. And, you know, look up for a chocolate that maybe doesn't come from Africa. I love chocolate still. I'm a big chocolate guy. So
there's a little spiel on that.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to run with that a little bit. It's not you're an American and then you're destroying the world. It's just these uninformed
unintended these impulses, consequences.
These impulses without doing the research. And that is the great thing about we have this education. Probably most people listening, if you're not a student, even there's still that opportunity. We have a lot of resources
Google.
Met. And so, yes, there is at our fingertips anything we want to learn. That is the great part about having all these opportunities and freedoms. It's not just to be able to do what I want because I can afford it, because in the long term, we can't afford it when we have no longer have an earth. And so we have that education at our fingertips. So it's just a little bit of, it's not bad people. It's uninformed. It's some ignorance that we actually do have a lot of resources at our fingertips. And so that also shows us how interconnected we are, how this awareness, that is the first step. We become aware of where this product comes from, how many people are impacted by it. And that's a direct connection that their lives are impacted by my choices and vice versa. I am definitely impacted by other people, where our food comes from. All of us need food. All of us need this nurturing and education. And so it is a direct tie. We are our food. We are what we eat. That's a totally cliche, but
amen.
You do not survive separate from our food. And we do not survive separate from other people. Even if you lived in space, you still got there from a lot of other people's work and resources.
I that dried food, they have that, I can't remember the special food they have, space food, you know. They still even eat food, even if it doesn't taste good.
And all the things that got them on a ship to
fossil
to
fuels.
Space. So we are directly dependent, interdependent on the Earth and each other. So that's what I'm getting at, and what I'm picking up at least, is this is an awesome opportunity to not say, you should feel guilt and look at that wrapper and where it came from and do this research. This is an awesome opportunity to become, to live an awake, aware, and intentional life. It can be your practice just to notice where the stuff is coming from, just to notice you are starting to care about that, just to notice that I've never thought about this before,
and
to notice if I'm going to take my totes into the store. Yeah. Lots and lots of opportunities that can just come up and become an inquiring, a curious way of becoming aware, using that as your meditative practice, or to just be more helpful and beneficial in society. It could just be an individual.
Yeah.
This is just a practice of awareness, and that has wholesome consequences. So that's really cool.
You don't want to guilt yourself. This is not about, like you said, I'm an American.
I could be better,
everyone could be better. This is everybody in life. You know, we can always improve. No one knows definitive answers. And like you said, just getting educated is the first and the most essential part, because you really don't know your impact or what you're doing to the individuals, the environment, unless you sit down and think about it. And once again, becoming aware enables you to then act upon what you learn. And then it's your choice. It's not my choice. It's your choice then to act upon it. All I ask is that you become educated and know, you know, both sides, and then it's your personal choice to decide and act upon what you learn. I am not here to make you do one way or the other. It's just become educated, and then you can personally go off of what feels good for you.
Nice.
Don't guilt yourself here. Don't plead the fifth and say, I'm never going to think about it again, or it's too hard to think, or I can't do it. You know, just try, you know, little thing, little things. We're here to help you. Google is here to help you. Local food vendors are here to help you. You know, there's awesome cookbooks that can teach you how to make really cheap, awesome, healthy food as a college student. So we have, you know, the information. Is just a matter of hearing it and letting it into our consciousness so we can fully make a decision on it.
And we have the capacity to cultivate this. We become aware of this. We can cultivate these abilities that can become more skillful means. And so when something seems like this huge project or issue that we feel like we have no control over, the industry or these corporations, you know, but there is our own choices. We do have the choice of what we're going to get our impact. And one thing I like to think about is, even if you, it doesn't matter necessarily, you mentioned even going to Walmart, but every item, so you don't have to, like, it's as you become aware, you notice what feels right for you. But in the meantime, you don't have to try to be somebody else or all of a sudden just go completely to the other extreme. That's a natural progression as you become more aware. And so when you're still shopping at wherever you are, just notice and become aware that every item you buy is a vote. So you don't have to necessarily go to the most fancy store out there, but you can still be buying healthy, wholesome,
exactly,
more skillful products, knowing that each of those products is a vote. When it goes,
your boop, money speaks, people.
Boop, as it's ringing up,
that's your vote.
That is your vote on what you wanted to buy and what you want that store to have. So another way to bring awareness into your shopping, into your impact.
McDonald's and Walmart are starting to offer organic produce. So, you know, if people say things can't change, the world is here to change for you. The world is not set in stone. So, like he said, every dollar, every vote, every item that you choose to purchase does define kind of your opinion, I guess, or what you want, or what society you enjoy, or what you want to see keep happening. Your money, keep it close to yourself, but also make sure that it works for you. Make sure that it's valuable to the person you're giving it to. You know, you don't want to buy something and then a week later have to go buy it again because it's broke. So, you know, maybe be aware of that. Is it a crappy product? Where is it from? Who's making it? You know, do I trust, you know, Apple, or do I trust Windows? You know, Microsoft? Yeah, I don't know which one I am, and I don't know which one you are, but it doesn't really matter. But, you know, just becoming aware of, you know, not just the food choices, but your consumption, just in general. What you buy, what you wear, what you eat, what you drive. Just kind of think about it.
So, folks, that's just an invitation to open up, to try basically seeing the practicality, the put into action, the engaged mindfulness, if you will, of this meditation, the heart of what we're talking about. This is a way that it becomes put into life. So this is an invitation offered to you of how our awareness can impact ourselves, our health, others in the world. That's what we're talking about here. So it's just an invitation to cultivate your awareness and see how that, where that takes you. It's a chance to actually put that into action. It's not just sitting back, meditating, forgetting about the world. So I hope you've seen the parallels there and can see that this is kind of the next progression of becoming aware, of cultivating the mind. Having a meditative practice is then we can have a more informed and see how that impacts others. And so it's up to you. This is your life and your world that we're going to have to continue to live on. And speaking of which, if you'd like to follow along, we'll do a little bit of a practice for the next few moments. No matter where you are, what you're doing, just become aware of your present environment, what you see or hear. Is it sunny or cloudy where you are? Hear the rain? Do you smell the rain? Hear birds or people? Just allowing your environment, your senses to be alive, bringing you into the present moment. The physical sensations of the breath, holding a pencil or a book, tapping a keyboard, all these things coming through the senses are happening in the present moment. And so we talk about these as a way to anchor us into the present So then we can see with a little more clarity and space, spaciousness, what's happening within, their impact with others. So take a deep breath in. Long, slow exhale. Another deep breath in, feeling the oxygen expand the lungs. Breathing out, letting go. Releasing the tension, stress from what has happened today, what might happen. Just set that burden aside. If there's important things that you need to do, all the more reason to set that down for a moment to clear the mind so you have a little more clarity to go about those important things. Just allow the breath to resume its natural rhythm. And feel the healing, that energizing, that nourishment of a refreshing breath in and just an exhale, almost like releasing, just letting go. A sigh of relief, if you will. Just feeling that relief, the tension with each out breath, the aliveness as you breathe in, the letting go as you breathe out. Releasing the shoulders and hands and belly. And so the breath is not only the physical sensation as we breathe in. There can be the energy, the shoulders rising, the whole body breathing. But there's also those that oxygen that comes in. That oxygen that's produced by the plants, trees, their byproduct or waste product. What we are living off of at this moment, what we are breathing, what supports our life, directly comes from other life. Other things that we typically say aren't us. But yet, those trees, everything that produces oxygen, they are our lungs. Without them, we'd not be breathing. Without the atmosphere. So each in-breath, feel that aliveness. Feel that connection to the trees. Your lungs, just an extension of them. Breathing out, letting go. Feeling the natural rhythms of the breath, settling into that, settling into your posture. Just become of the breath, the oxygen going through the lungs, into the heart. Heart pumping. Oxygen, all those atoms throughout your bloodstream, going to every part of your body. That's what the blood is carrying to nourish every spot. The brain, arms and legs, your organs, your fingers and toes. Blood flows through there and carries oxygen so that those trees, the atmosphere, you are not dependent on them. You are them. It flows through you. It is your life force. It is the pulse. Your pulse are those trees. The food we eat, animals, the plants, the people that farm that trucked it here, all had an impact. We depend on them, we are them. Our bodies made up a lot of water. That rain that we may be complaining about, sometimes I do too. A lot of times I complain about many things. But when I step back and become aware, I realize that rain, those clouds, that gloomy day that's blocking out the sun, is really very needed. That's flowing through us as well. Water in our bodies came from the rain, the snow, which came from clouds, which came from the rest of the water cycle. Food that nourishes us eventually came from plants, which got their nutrients from the soil, so without the earth, there'd be none of these things. We do not just depend on the earth. We do not just walk on it or live on it. We are the earth as it flows through us, directly connected to it, to others. Just breathe in that gratitude of all the things that got you to school, to work, to your families, that allowed them to exist, to you exist. Breathe that in. Letting go of the stories, the worries, the things that aren't serving you, that aren't truly happening at this moment. Breathe that stress out, letting go. Breathing out through the lungs, letting go of the toxins through the hands and feet. Just letting that go back into the earth that can handle it. Just any time we're lost in our thoughts or worries, feeling rushed about, we don't have to run off to a monastery or some stereotyped place to meditate, to calm down. We can just take this moment, just this very breath, have that come back to the present moment, our connection with the earth, with others. So then maybe there's that flash of insight. Yes. As alone as I feel, I am supported. I am connected. There are so many great things allowing us to be. I'm not saying there's not things that do need to change, that we need to work on, that we need to strive towards. But recognizing the beauty, what is around us, what is here as well. And that at any moment we can reflect on the feeling in the body, the breath, the sensations, and how that all came about through our connection with the earth and that impact that that has on others. So this can be just a reflection, an inner connection, or the very source of our being, very source of the practice to come to the present moment, to feel that aliveness. Literally, you've heard me say it before, that dance of aliveness as life flows through you, just like the breath. It literally is flowing through you. And we can honor all that by becoming aware. And noticing that each step we take can become more skillful, can cultivate more skillful means. We're more ignorant, meaning just uneducated, unskillful means, because it leads to more suffering for ourselves and others. That's what I mean. Not getting into right or wrong, but what's skillful, what cultivates long-term underlying happiness that isn't based on changing conditions. And that's not going to be by causing others suffering. If we build our happiness on others' suffering, it's really superficial. Likewise, if we put all our investment in success by depleting resources from ourselves, others, the earth, that won't last very long. So as we become aware, we notice our own skillful actions or unskillful. Why does it lead to more awareness, more joy, more liberation, stress relief or not. And so, folks, you can always learn to these practices formally or informally, just like I mentioned, anything to bring it to the present moment or what you already do for your own me time, as we say, or time to recharge. There are many places to meditate. We have the show, many podcasts on Aggie Radio if you look for that. Or if you email usumeditationclub@gmail.com, that's usumeditationclub@gmail.com, you can find more resources. We can email you the link that they're having trouble with all our podcasts of Mindfulness on Air, or just search them one by one on their homepage. But until they link up our own page, you can email us for the link. You can just have all the podcasts and what we're about, listen to all the insights, all the ways that different folks from different backgrounds put mindfulness and meditation into action, or how they see the practicality of it in their lives. So we have meditation here on Wednesdays, third floor of the TSC, room 335, from 1 to 2 p.m. on Wednesdays. It's free, it's open to all public, staff, students, helping you to support whatever practice helps you in life and exploring different techniques and resources. We also have our own page. If you go to MyUSU, your portal page, either at the top left or bottom left, there's View Communities. If you view communities, that'll give you the list of all the organizations and clubs that are on the page. More are coming. And to open the folder next to USU Meditation Club, you have to click Join on the right side, which allows you to go in and see that. And then you can see all the other many resources we have available. So then that way you can find your own individual resources that work for you. There's different teachers who are coming through the valley, different groups to meditate, how-to guides on there, guided meditations, scientific journals of how it helps with stress reduction and all those things we talk about, or just more ways for you to practice. Lots of ways for you to just put this into being, put this into practice, and not have to take other people's word for it. So lots of great stuff on there. Many of you can check out. Any last words or things you wanted to mention, Darren?
Yeah, you know, if you're an individual that automatically discredits or doesn't think it'll work, I challenge you to try it once and truly try it. And I think you'll understand what we mean, that it kind of opens up. You know, like you said, we're not expecting you to sit down and cross legs and on top of a mountaintop for 3 hours and give up food for 3 weeks. And, you know, we're not asking that. No one does. No one is expected that. But maybe 10 seconds, you know. You know, next time you turn off the water fountain or, you know, water faucet, next time you wake up, just little things, just try it. Just say, what am I doing? You know, when you go to throw something in the trash, you know, is it worthy of the trash or can I recycle it? Just little things, you know, don't go on autopilot. You know, in this world, we go too much on that. And so check out the meditation community, check out their classes on Wednesdays. There also are some things in Cache Valley at the Unitarian Church that are very similar. So check that out, folks.
Many groups and resources for what works for you.
And then USU Meditation will have a Facebook club soon. And so just find them out on Facebook. We can connect with you there. And hope to see or hear you again.
Lots of great stuff. You can also check out Sossner, folks. So everybody, thank you for listening and tuning in. We'll be back. And in the meantime,
we love you.
Yeah, exactly. You're listening to Aggie Radio. This is Mindfulness on Air, signing off for now. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Be mindful. Until next time,
have a good one. Be aware.